is kasher. What is he asking about? Why do you need the first part of the Torah? You need a very important. There's a lot of limudim from the first part of the Torah. Myself, I mean, many limudim. Second question is, what's his answer? What kind of an answer is it? Just because of the Gaim? So he wrote it because of the Gaim. First, we have to understand what do we care about the Gaim? You know, what do we care about the Gaim? The answer doesn't seem to be an effective one. And secondly, if just to answer the Gaim, it's not necessary to have all the situations that are mentioned until the Chodesh Shalachem. There's three questions really on it. Three questions on Rashi. The questions are so difficult. I mean, it's not like saying three questions. Just don't understand what he's talking about. Yeah. Very odd. The most striking thing is to say that the whole Torah, I mean, all these things is just for one purpose. In case a guy confronts you in the street, otherwise there's no value. Inherently there's no value in the whole myself is from Bereshis to Lachesh Zalachem. Just in case a guy comes along, so you give him this answer. It doesn't make any sense. It's connected everything. Connected all Chazal and all the Mudim and everything. Chazal say that one of the Tanayim, when he used to go to visit the Kesa, used to study over the Parsha of Esav and Yaakovim. Lemudim, hundreds, thousands of Lemudim from the Torah. It wasn't just to answer a guy. That's the only purpose. Very difficult. Very difficult. Shot. Yes. What else I got? See, the assumption is that Derech Chaim isn't important. The only thing that's important is Halacha. It's an assumption which is connected to everything we know, especially we know. Yeah. The result is that the purpose was never fulfilled, because the purpose was that when the goyim come, you'll tell them, take the book, or take it home, read it, you'll see we're right, and they'll go home and you have it. Well, when did such a thing happen? And the purpose was never fulfilled. I mean, the purpose wasn't fulfilled. Didn't work. Right. First Rashi in Vayeshev. Beis. I was just going for the keys. Beis. Void, you see, Ela tell this Yaakov. Look at the end of the Rashi. He says, Void nidresh boy, all the drushes, why ask that Ela tell this Yaakov? Look at the last pshat. Void nidresh boy, Vayeshev, what does it mean Vayeshev? Bikesh Yaakov leshev b'shalva. Yaakov wanted to live in peace. Kofatzel of regzeh shel Yosef. So the incident of Yosef immediately jumped on him. Why? Why? Tzadikim mevakshim leishev b'shalva. Tzadikim want to have peace. Yeah, that's right. Ayma HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, apparently Rishayim don't want peace. Only Tzadikim want peace. Rishayim want something else. Ayma HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Leidayon l'tzadikim mashem esukun lehem lo'ilam haba. It's not enough for the Tzadikim what they have in Elam Haba.
That's right.
Mevakshim leishev b'shalva bo'ilam hazeh. They want to have peace in this world too.
Wait, give these guys a hand and take the whole world?
Yeah. Right. What is Rashi? What's difficult in Rashi?
What
are you
talking
about? What's the Rashi? Yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah, why not?
What kind of is this? God says like this. He says, right. He says, look, you guys want everything.
Elam
Haba, you want Elam Haba too. That's too much for you. That's too much. Well, I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't give everything. Can't give everything. I mean, he doesn't have enough. Can't give this world and the next world too. What's wrong? Why can't you give both? Why not?
Justice.
You can have your own money.
We'll take a look at the whole mice of Yosef. The whole mice of Yosef at Tzadik, right? What's wrong? Eila tell this Yaakov. Yosef ben Shvayasre Shana Hayaroya Es Echov Batzain. Vehu Nar Es Bnei Vilov Es Bnei Zilpon Eshei Oviv. Vayove Yosef as the bosom royal avian. Really, this first pasuk is a powerful pasuk. First pasuk. Why? Because the first pasuk tells you something. The question is like this, really. Why did Yosef, everything works for the Ashgacha, right? So the question is, why did Yosef deserve to be sold as an Eved? Why did Yosef deserve to be sold as an Eved? Right? Huh? Why did Yosef deserve to be sold as an Eved? Obviously, the very nature of the question, when we ask the question, we assume, the assumption is, that everything that works out within the Torah, everything the Torah mentions at work that happens for the benefit of an individual. There's a purpose there. It happens for the benefit of an individual. Now, if we take a look at that Rashi that we just mentioned before, we'll still see what the benefit was, how it worked. Interesting thing, yes?
I don't understand why you assume that. Maybe why you assume it's benefit for the individual.
What and why do you assume
that? Benefit
for
the call. Later on,
I'll be trying. I don't mean particular benefit this one. I mean justice. It works out according to justice. Now let's take a look at the Rashi again. What does Rashi say? Rashi says that Bikesh Yaakov Leishev Veshavos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tzadikim lo yedai lohem sheyesh lam olam haba liyesh lam olam haza gamkein. What does it mean? What does Rashi really mean? What does Chazal mean when they say that? The Medrash HaGadol, what does it mean? What does it mean to say? What it means to say is simply what? That it's one or the other. It's one or the other. What does it mean it's one or the other? What does it mean it's one or the other? Why should it be one or the other? God can't give them both. Yeah, it's an infantile question. What's the answer? The answer is what? Not that God can't give them both, but it's impossible, according to the ultimate laws of justice, it's impossible. If we had true knowledge, we'd see it's impossible to have both. What does it mean? Why is it impossible to have both? Why is it impossible to have both?
And the pleasure in the next world is the
pleasure. Exactly right.
So therefore, if we partake of any of the physical pleasure here, then we can't have the most.
Right. In other words, insofar as a person is attached to the material, so by that same amount, he removes himself from the ultimate good. Right? Insofar as the person's emotions are attached to the physical world, so by that same amount, he removes himself from the ultimate good. Correct? Right? Okay, that's always the basic idea. Okay. So, like we mentioned many times with Moshe Rabbeinu over there, what was the purpose of the Einish for Moshe Rabbeinu? It was really for his perfection. Every Einish is that way. Kashe Yasser Ish is Benoit, the Shonel Kachami Yasreka. Because the Rock gives an Einish only to benefit the individual. Ah. So the question is that we have to ask. What's the question we have to ask now? What's the question?
Well, when he wanted the piece that wasn't for physical benefit, right?
When he wanted the piece that wasn't physical benefit, right? Yeah, correct. So what do you see from this? The question that we must ask is, what way would the piece have interfered with Yaakov reaching his perfection? That's the question. Apparently, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said like this, Tzadikim want shalva in this world, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. In most instances, it's impossible. Because the lack of peace in this world is something which perfects the individual and raises him to a higher level. Insofar as he has chesroinus, insofar as he has shortcomings. So there must have been a shortcoming in Yaakov Avinu. One shortcoming which had to be overcome in order that he should be able to receive the perfect chelek of Olam Haba, his perfect chelek of Olam Haba. You understand what I mean? You see? In other words, there was some lack in Yaakov, which, had that lack not been corrected through the situations that he lived through in Olam Haza, so then he would not have reached the ultimate level in Olam Haba. Which means simply the basic nothing new is the basic idea of Schar V'Einish. That means that the Einish Yisur M'Markin Chatov Shel Adam, what does it mean? It means that if a person correctly takes an Einish, takes it in the proper way, so he raises himself to a higher level. Right? So there must have been something in Yaakov, something which needed correction. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Let's take a look. What was the Chasarim? You understand what I mean? In other words, if this would not have been corrected, then it would have infringed upon his ultimate chelek in Olam Haba. You see? So there must have been some emotional thing over there, some emotional attachment that he had to remove himself from. What was it?
Yeah.
That's right. What?
I would
say
to Rachel.
To what? To Rachel. All right, but let's take a look at the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Eila tell this Yaakov, Yasef ben Shvas Reshano Yeroya Esecha Batzayim, Vahu Nar as B'nei Vilov as B'nei Zilpan Hashay Oviv, Vayove Yasef as the Bosom Moral of Iyam. Next pasuk, V'Yisroel Ohav as Yasef Mikol Bonov, Ki Ven Zekunim Uloi, V'Osoloi Ksenes Pasen. Right? Now when it says that the second pasuk, Yisroel Ohav as Yasef Mikol Bonov, Ki Ven Zekunim Uloi, so what does it mean over there? Apparently, you see, it's true. Ben zekunim means two things. Ben zekunim is two pshatim. Ben zekunim was noilad le'eis ziknasai, right? And also, uncle is tirgim ba'chokim, from the word zakon, because zakon always means a chacham. Zakon always means a chacham. So the Torah used in the word ben zekunim, there's really two ideas. Why don't I just say ben chacham uloi? Ben Chacham Olay,
was
Ben Zekunim,
smart son.
But Ben Zekunim has a double entendre. It means two things. It was Neilad Le'esik Nusay, that's one, and also the implication that it was a Chacham, which means what? What does it mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi like this. Shenelad leleisikinasa. That's one. Vunklus tirgen ba chokim avalei. Kol ma shelomad mishen ve'evem mosalei. Mosalei. So you see, there really was two. His relationship with Yosef was on two levels. True, it's true that there was he was a chacham and really he deserved to have the terror of shame veva. He deserved it, right? But there was also something else going alongside the chachma. There was another thing. There was ben zikunim. There was an emotional attachment there, an emotional attachment. So you ask me, how do I know there's an emotional attachment there? He shies this Rashi. There's another area also, another area too. Take a look. What happened after Yosef left, after Yosef was gone, so what happened then? So then, really, Binyamin took over the place of Yosef. Binyamin took over the place of Yosef. Took over the place of Yosef in Yaakov's eyes, and took over the place of Yosef in the brother's eyes. You see? That's why he said, Vayam Yisrael, Mem Gimel, Mem Beis, Posuk, Lamaches, where's Posuk? Vayam Eloyere Bini Machem, Ki Ochiv Meis, Vahu Levadai Nishar. He was the only one. The Torah says that Binyamin took over Yosef's place in Yaakov's eyes. So Yaakov didn't want to do it, right? An interesting thing. If it was a chesaron in Yaakov, if we're correct in saying that there was an emotional attachment there besides the Bar Chokim, but it was also the Ben Zekunim, you see. Because it came from Rachel, true, right? So if that was there, that emotional attachment was there, so then the question is, when did he overcome it? In other words, how did the incident lead to his perfection? When did he overcome it? What's the answer? That's right, when he let him go. The whole dialogue, the whole incident, and the whole conflict that he had between letting Binyamin go and not letting him go, was really the expression of the... That's when Yaakov overcame the whole emotional complex of Yosef. You see?
Was that an intellectual decision? Or just
intellectual. He realized it. Intellectual. But that's why when you read the Torah, it's always very obvious. Take a look what happened over there. It's like this. Vayam alem Yaakovim. Aisi shikaltem. They told the whole Maisa. Aisi shikaltem Yosef and Shimon and Binyamin to go. Alayu kolona. Vayam Reuben alav lemar. Shnevan etamas levin alecha. No, he's not going to go. Then later, Vayikah Shakil Lechal Sasheva, Vayam Alavira, Hoyd Eid Bonishto, Mohamaisa over again. Vayam is a Lomar Esam Li Lahagid Li Shahid Lechamach. Shal Shali Ish again, he answered, we couldn't help it with it. Vayam Yerlov Yerlov, Shulchanai Tunakum Lechon, Anoichi Avenu. What do you say? Anoichi Avenu, take a look. Mem Gimel Tes, Anoichi Avenu, Miyodi Tvakshenu, Loya Vyasive Lechov, Itzakti Lechonecha, Vechatosi Lechakala Yomit. Why did Yaakov change his mind? You would do it appear, you see, he changed his mind because you gave him a guarantee. Nah, he didn't care about you his guarantee. How do you know? Because you see, he says like this. Because if you look at the pasuk, you see, Kilulei Hismamonu, Kiyata Shavim Zephaman, Vyamalem Yisrael Avim, in Kenev Hesasu, he told him, okay, do it this way, he says. Then he says at the end, he says, the kel shakai yitain lachem rachmin lefnei yish v'shilach lachem asachichem acher as binyamin v'ani kasher shacholti shacholti. What does it mean kasher shacholti shacholti? He accepted the guarantee. What's the problem? What's kasher shacholti shacholti? What does it mean? He says, take a look at Rashi. Kasher shacholti shacholti means it's all over. It's lost. Kasher shacholti mi Yosef mi Shimon shacholti mi binyamin, and that's it. So what does it mean shacholti mi binyamin? Finally, he was able to give up the attachment to binyamin also. Open the pasuk. The only reason he let them go was when he was able to break the attachment. Breaking the attachment was when Yaakov perfected himself. That's what Rashi means. Sadikim like Dailahim, it's not enough that they have Olam Haba, but they want to have Olam Hazeh too. That's impossible. You can't have both. Because Olam Hazeh is the place that the person perfects his soul so that he's roy for Olam Haba. You see? That's when Yaakov perfected himself. But it's interesting, really, the Maisa, the whole Sikra Maisa of Yosef and the Achim is a three-dimensional story. Three stories in one. We have like this. Start off with Vayeshev, right? So, first of all, the first two Pesukim. First Pasuk talks about Yosef, because everything in Yosef was also under the Ashgacha. What was the incident with Yosef? Why did Yosef deserve to go down to Mitzrayim, become an Eved, become nothing? I mean, broken down to nothing. Why? What was the purpose? What was the purpose? What? Pasuk says. What does Pasuk say? Interesting. Pasuk says, yeah. Vayava Yosef is the Bosom Roa Lavian. Yosef brought Lashnar to the father. Okay, fine. Then it says also, that's one thing. There's two things in the Pasuk that it says about Yosef. The Pasuk just says two things about Yosef, no more. What are the two things? One is Vayava Yosef as the Bosom Ra Lavian. There's another thing also in the Pasuk. What's another thing in the Pasuk? Vunar, that's all. Vunar. Yeah, Vunar. I mean, the other thing is just the fact. Taylor tells you, yes, Mishra, Sashan, Yoraz, Chopotan. Fine. That's interesting. But about his character, there's two things. One is Vunar. And because the Vunar doesn't just tell you he's young. I mean, we know Shvas Rishon is a young man. What's Vunar? Vunar doesn't mean that he's a 17. Just told you 17. Vunar means it's a character reference. Because how long ago? It's obvious. Vunar, Rashi says, Maisen Iris. Shoyosa Maisen Iris. Mesakim Besaroi, Memashmesh Beinov, Kidesh Shiyan Nirayotha. He was very conscious of appearance. Maisen Iris. And the second thing in the Pasuk is, Vayave Yosef as the Bosom Royal of Ian, that he told Lashonara, he spoke Lashonara. Rashi says, quotes the Chazal, so what happened if everything got back? If everything got back. Why, what did he say? He said, they'd have Menachai. Vayishchatu Sirizim, and they didn't have Menachai. Yeah, okay. Diboy says, he said that they called their brothers Avadim. He was offering Evid. Arayas, Fatisei Shadaina. Yeah, fine. What's the pshat? What's the pshat over there? And moreover, what we have to understand is like this. If the Torah is telling you something about Yosef's character, this is the problem. The problem is, there must be an interrelation between these two things. Between the Vahunahar and between Vayava Yosef as the Basam Ra'al Avian. And also, between the whole Hishtalshas, the whole the events that occur, the whole concatenation of events with the Halemis and everything. One basic idea is in Yosef. There's one basic idea. Which explains the whole reason why all these events had to take place. Yeah, what's the basic? What was the character? Let's take the first point. What was the character trait that Yosef had? What was wrong with him? What was the character trait? The psul that he had. Childish. There's such a thing. The psychologist called narcissism. Narcissism. So you say it's what plain language gaiva means, that the person overestimates the self. There's a certain amount of love that a person has towards the self. Now things like this. When this is out of proportion, so there's an overestimation. Overestimation of self. It expresses itself in many ways. Expresses itself, first of all, in physical appearances. Physical appearances. That's one of the classic manifestations. Then, also, there's something else that it does. It breaks the identification between this himself and others. It breaks the identification between himself and others. You see, Yosef. And also, it prevents him from dealing with reality in a proper manner, because the emotion interferes with the way he sees reality. The emotion robs the mind of the ability to perform an intellectual judgment without any prejudice. Things like this. That by Yosef was really destined to be a leader. You see the Chalemis. You see from the Chalemis, right? But there was one psul. There was one tremendous psul he had. That was the overestimation of self. With the overestimation of self, he could never become a leader. It would be impossible. He would be tied to the sasri. You see?
Because he'd have to give of himself anything?
Because he could never... What is a leader? A leader is a person... A leader is a person who could judge every incident with the utmost objectivity. You see? With the utmost objectivity. If the person has this psul, he doesn't judge things with objectivity. Everything is subjective because he's personally involved. You see, he's personally involved, so therefore his leadership is based on ego, right? Insofar as his leadership is based on ego, there cannot be any just. He cannot perform any just decisions. You see, the emotion. This emotion is the most dangerous emotion that any leader can have, because The purpose of a leader is simply to be able to focus the mind's eye on what is just, on what is just in terms of the subjects, you see. But if there is any personal emotion involved, any personal gratification, his own ego's involved, so this on the contrary, destroys the ability to be able to see anything justly. You see? Vunar means that there was the love of the self. There's a love of the self to show, demonstrate he's good looking, he's handsome. Then it expressed itself in two ways. Vayove Yosef is the basam ra lavihem, number one. Why? Because there was a break of identification. There was an assumption of his own greatness. Let me show you a chazal. Gemara in Kedushin. Gemara says the pay off. Sorry, Yosef. Gemara says like this. Rab Meir have a misleitzitz ba'ivri avera. Two maizes, Rab Meir and Rab Akiva. Rab Meir would misleitzitz. Rashi says means he degrade them. Oymash she nokulu l'sgabal yitzrayim ha'yiraitzim. So these people, ever means nus. So he says that they degrade them. They could overcome it very easily, but they're just lazy. So the Gemara says, Yoimachad, one day, idmalei satan ki itzah. So the satan appeared as a woman, bahach gisad anara, on the other side of the river. Bahach gisad anara, the other side of the river. So loy hava mavra, there was no ferry, there's no boat going across. Knock at Metzra, he took the rope that went across the ferry, go along the rope. Took the rope that went across, and he started to go over himself. The Ka'avar, he started to go. Kimota palga Metzra, when he came halfway, Shavke, so the Sutton left him. Amar, Sutton said like this, he loved the Kamachrazi Birakia, Izaru Brameir Vetairasai, if not that I heard that they said, they say, Vashemayim, be careful of Rav Meir in his Torah. Shavise lidmach tati mai. I'd make you worth 2 cents. Otherwise, I would have let you finish what you were trying to do, and then you'd be nothing. See? Same incident, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva misleads his brother. Yemachad in le sutton kitza beresh digla. So the sutton appeared as a woman on top of the tree. Nakte le digla v'kasakol v'azel. He started to climb the tree. He mutter a palge to Dicklaw when he came halfway up. Shavke, Amar ilav the machrasi berkiyeh zor berkiyeh terasa shavis ledmach tatimai. Same thing. What are Chazal saying? What are Chazal telling us? What's the limud? The mistake was he was misleitzitz b'ivrei avera. What does it mean misleitzitz b'ivrei avera? He was unable to see really the difficulties involved in the person in kvishas yetzer. You see? Why? Because there was an overestimation of the self. Simply, isn't that the plain shot? I mean, right? He overestimated himself. So what did Akash Baruch do? The incident with the Satan showed him, on the contrary, that you're no different than anybody else. It broke the overestimation. Vayave Yosef is the bosom roll at the end. It's the same exact thing. It wasn't viciousness, really. It wasn't a vicious person. You don't find anybody else was vicious. It wasn't vicious. There was no identification. He was on a higher level. It says, Bach Hakam Alay, to all the Torah Shem Veira. Yaakov gave him all the Torah Shem Veira. It was on a high level. But he was on a high level, but the overestimation prevented him from really seeing objectively what the situation was with his brothers. So he was misleitzitz. He simply went, he said, they're ashamed, they did this, they did that. He didn't take into consideration the difficulties involved, the objective difficulties involved in Kvisha Yetzer. The emotion led him to believe that it's a simple thing, just like the mice of the Mary Rikiva. So therefore, what happened? What was necessary? Yosef, in order to break the egoism, what was necessary? Yeah, mechira zeneved, because mechira zeneved drove him down to the lowest point. Once that emotion was broken, then Yosef was able to become the leader. It's interesting. There was another mistake that he made too. Before this, one more point. What did he do? It says when Yosef, you take a look at the Torah, you really start to wonder. It's very odd. It says like this. It says, "Oh, vayachlan Yosef chalam vayaged leechoy." Right? Vayasif leitznei Yosef. Shimono, chalem azeh shechalanti. Of course, they're going to be very happy to hear this. V'nachdem amalum v'sechasada. Right? Mine goes up, yours goes down. It's a great dream, you know. Guys should be overjoyed. Vayemru leechav hamolech timlechalenu mashal timshal banu. Right? By Yosefu Waitznayes Alchalam Shvaldvar. So they told him, he saw himself that there's a, that this is a, you know, this is, doesn't bring a, doesn't really engender any love here. Vayachalaim oid chalaim acher vayisaper oisei lecha vayem hine chlamti chalaim oid. You see?
Yeah.
Again. What did it do? The overestimation, it was so great, simply that it, he couldn't think in terms, politically he was unable to think accurately. You see?
So these dreams were not prophetic dreams, huh?
No, they were.
They were.
They were prophetic dreams. They were, yes.
So it's not from him?
No, but the point is that in conveying, his conveying it to them was foolish. What are you telling them for? You see, after the first one, you see that they're not too happy to hear this. What are you telling them again? But you say again, the second dream. What does the term mean? Simple thing. Because the overestimation of itself led to miscalculations already. He couldn't think properly in terms of how to act politically. I mean, it tells him, you don't go in there and do things that are harmful. I mean, he was unable to see. Oh. What is, so therefore, you see, in order to be a ruler, that's why, you see, the most important thing is
politics.
The most important thing is not politics. To be able to remove the overestimation. Because the overestimation infringes with the proper action. One, Vayove Yosef is the bosom roll of the M in terms of how he judges his subjects. Number one, he misjudges them. He doesn't really give them a fair judgment. That's one. And two, how he deals with them. He doesn't know how to deal with them. I mean, what is basically a leader? A leader is two things. To be able to judge what the situation is and then be able to act accordingly, right? In both areas, you see that his mind was overcome by the emotion. By the overestimation, his mind was overcome. He couldn't judge them properly. One, that's what Rashi says before. Aval kulan loka, alev minachai. He criticized them of three things, and in every one of those things, he himself in turn was loka. What does it mean as loka? It shows that it wasn't really true. It wasn't true. It might have been true that they were vavera, but the extent, the way he saw it, wasn't true. He didn't see it in this proper framework. He misjudged. He overestimated the fate. So therefore, Yosef had to. Yosef had to go through the whole Maisa with the being sold as an Eved, going down to the lowest point, until he was able to correct that emotion. Interesting, you see like this. First he went down, he was sold as an Eved, then he almost got out, but one mistake, that also came from the same source. It says like this. It says, interesting, Rambani, when Ramban says that, why does it say, so it says, Vayishal esrise paro yasher ite b'mishmar beis adoin of lemar. So Ramban Yisakashi says, we know already, the Torah just told you before that there was mishmar with esrise paro. Why did I say again? Vayishal, as you said before, chotem ashkim alchamayim v'adonim v'adonim v'itzef parash nesarisa saramashar reifim v'itam esim b'mishmar, and then okay, vayifkei tzatabam esyesef itam, he was there with him, then vayachem ushalim shneim, they dream, okay, vayol elam yisef v'yker vayal esam v'inam zoyef, and he saw that, you know, so they were sweating. Vayishal srisei parai asher ita b'mishma beis adain of lema. Of course, and they were. Just told us the whole story. Just told us they were there, he was there, they had a dream, and they were concerned, they were worried. And then the next thing should be, vayishal oisam lema. What srisei parai asher ita b'mishma beis adain of lema? So Ramban said like this. Ramban says, magid shvachai shel Yosef. The Torah tells us shvachai Yosef. Why? Because Yosef was really nothing over there. And these srisei parai, even in prison, they had power. Because they were very respected, and if they wanted it, they could have destroyed Yosef. Because all they'd have to do was to make up a story about him, and they'd kill him already, because he was a nobody. You see? So, Vayishal esrise paroi asher itoi b'mishmar, beis adain of lemar. These great esrise paroi, he wasn't afraid to approach them. And he wasn't afraid to approach them. They were in beis adain of, which means that if they would go to the adain, and they would want to get rid of Yosef, I mean, he wouldn't hesitate to get rid of him. So, what does it show, the Ramban says? It shows that botach b'chachmasai. Yosef was very sure, very confident in his chachma, that he can handle them. There's nothing to worry about. So he knew that, you see the way he answered them. When he answered them, he said, halole lekim pisreinim sapunoli. What's halole lekim pisreinim? It sounds like a guy in a country. Lekim pisreinim, so tell me. No. Means lekim pisreinim means, lekim pisreinim means, the over there he meant what the occurrence. The occurrence is really belongs to God. In other words, the whole interpretation, the pisrei means the interpretation that happens isn't me. In other words, I'm not. Yes, v'yad Hashem. All I could do is just tell you what's going to happen, because otherwise, if he tells me a bad interpretation, Then they say, oh, you're the interpreter. No, no, no. He wanted to make sure that they understand that it's not because they're people that are mystical. They believe if you interpret it bad, then it happens bad, you know? So this way, if he'll tell them that he's going to get his head hung, you know,
well,
so that'll be the end of it.
Ah.
So he had to convince them first. You see, what about it in the right way? He had to convince them first. He doesn't tell you every detail of how he spoke, what he said. Just tells you basically the one idea, that he spoke with them first, and he felt them out, and he saw that they accepted the idea that his interpretation is not going to be the cause, but it's like Kimpis Renum. The cause is God, the cause of Kadosh Baruch Hu, but all I can do is just tell you what is going to happen. So don't be angry at me if I give you a raw,
yes,
bad
joke. You said the same thing to Paro.
Right, same thing to Paro.
He said, I'm not going to be the one causing
it. Right. Oh, you see? So the Ramban says, that's the Pshat Batach B'Chachmasai. Batach B'Chachmasai means he knew how to approach them in a way that he wouldn't be in danger. Right?
That's good.
So you see, he still had a tremendous confidence. Tremendous confidence. But confidence in Chachma can come from two sources. Confidence in Chachma. One is objective. He has to be able to evaluate himself. See, he's a Chachma, he knows, nothing to worry about. Ah, but there could also be involved the overestimation of the self also. See? What do you see that was still involved? What do you see? It still wasn't perfected. He was perfected to a great degree. Because it says in the end, right? It says, yeah. He says, Pasuk Yudalad. Pasuk Yudgimel Yudalad. Right? Yudalad. After you told him the good interpretation, Sam Ashkin said, Ki im zechai tani yitcha kashe yitav loch vasisa noi modi chesed viz katani el paroi vaitse sanim in abayis hazeh. Told him, Gigun of Ganath Dim Eretz Ha'ivrim v'gam poilu esisim umu kisam osi babor. And then in the end it says, Les Pasuk v'loi zocha sam Ashkin es yeseif ha'ishkacheho. So why the Chazal say why? Because Yosef thought that his action is going to bring his release. You see, he thought his action will bring his release. Yes, the question is, well, what's wrong with that? Of course, don't we always go along with the Derech HaTeva? I mean, of course we always do. What do you just say? Just sit home and expect the Minas Shemayim that everything's going to work out. That's Mishigana. We don't know that. Ah, so what's the Pshat? What does it mean? It means one thing. It means that the element of overestimation was still there. You see. Because
put God in there?
Right. Because the overestimation caused him to fail to recognize that no matter how perfect the plan is, you see, the outcome of the plan is still not necessarily so. There still is the element of the Hashgacha. So it means that the overestimation played a role somewhat in his mind. The element was still there in the denial of the Hashgacha. So that's why I had to wait 2 years. And then simply a strange, an unusual occurrence took place. And all of a sudden he was taken out. But then when he was taken out, he saw it was simply Hashgacha. Then he was... In other words, it wasn't because of his greatness. He realized when he left, he had to leave in a way. He had to leave in one way. A way that had nothing to do with his own actions. Because if it had to do with his own actions, there was always a danger that he would forever be tied to that emotion of the overestimation of the self. It would be his action that did it. You see? So ultimately when he left, it was simply extraneous maisa. He had a chalom and he called him down. Like, come on, you're tzum in a bar. Took him out quickly. I mean, no sheiches. He wasn't expecting it. He thought he would be there forever. You see? Ah, that's when he reached perfection. So you see, the whole maisa really is two things: the maisa of Yosef, the sipur maisa, right in the beginning. The first two psukim sets up the whole story. First two psukim. First pasuk is about Yosef's condition, right? Pasuk Gimel is about Yaakov, Yisrael, Ovas, Yosef, Mikol, Bonov, Kiven, Zekunim, Uloi, right? And of course, the third pasuk, the next pasuk, is the last. There's three stories here, three. One is insofar as Yosef, why it had to work out that way. One is insofar as Yaakov, and the last one. Vayiru Echov, Ki Yosef, Ov, Avia, Mikol, Echov, Vayisnu, Yosef, Vayachlu, Dabra, L'Shalem. What was the third thing? It was the emotion of the brothers. Of course, this one everybody's familiar with. The emotion of the brothers. When did they change the car? When they did tshuva. When they later on the road. Should openly in the case. It says... That's right. See? Really, the thing is like this. It's true. Yaakov had an emotional attachment. Right, fine. Yosef had an overestimation, but the fact remained that still, Bar Chokim Ulai, Because it says that Yosef was really, all the Torah they learned by Shem Yaakov and Hashem Ve'ever is Masr Yosef, right? Which means that in reality they should have subjected themselves to him. Why should they have subjected themselves to him? Because that's right. Because he's the one that had the most knowledge. Sure, he has a psul, but isn't he the best one in this situation? Oh, he could be better, but isn't he the best one now under the situation? Yes. So why do you reject him? The answer is because he has an emotion. He has an egoistic emotion. This emotion disturbs you. So therefore, it prevents you from accepting him as a leader, right? Ah, that's another emotion. You see, that itself is an emotion. So they were overcome. It was an interplay of three different people, three different persons. Yosef, Yaakov, and the Achim. Each one had an emotional attachment. Each one had a mistake in correct thinking. And the whole Sipra Maisa corrected each one. Corrected each situation.
Really?
What do you see? Yeah.
What does it mean by the...
Oh. One second. Agav Orcha, you see... One second. Where do you see the brothers? Where do you see the brothers, the tshuva? Where do you see the brothers... were corrected? Two places. Really. First of all, it says openly in the Torah. It says when they were on the way back in the Kates, when they took Shemayin, and kainim atem achichem echad Yosef veis mishmarchem vatem chovisha ravavodim batechem vesachichem akotem tevigo elai. Then the yom nivrechem vayom semusu vayasachem vayemru ish elachiv. Each one, they all said, avol Hashem imanachnu alachinu. Asher ro'inu tzaras nafshei b'schanu elenu v'lo shemanu alkein bo elenu atzaras ais. That's real tshuva. They saw that they misjudged Yosef, that they misjudged him because of the emotional hatred. They misjudged him and they killed him. They shouldn't have done that. You see?
One second.
What? Reason? Because
they thought that something bad happened to them.
Right. They knew because they knew it was a result of Ashgacha. They knew it was a result of Ashgacha. You see? Yeah, they knew it was a result of Ashgacha. The Rambam says that every step in Teresh B'Ksav, in regard to the Avais, every step in the Sipra Maisa is an expression of the Ashgacha, because they were on the level where the Ashgacha was constantly with them. So as soon as they saw something went wrong, they knew right away it was the Ashgacha. Question is, what is it? What is the chait? So then they realized it was chait Yosef. Yeah. Interesting. Where else do you see that everything worked by the Ashgacha? The whole Sipra Maisa was devised by the Ashgacha in order to bring the three situations. Where do you see it? One pasuk. Pasuk says in Vayeshev. It says like this. Right after the thing. It says, Vayelchu echov lirois esayin aviyam b'shchem, and right in Vayeshev, sheni. Vayem yisrael yisrael, aleich echa rayim b'shchem, l'chol ashlocha aleicha, aleim, vayem alein eini. Okay. Vayem alech nareyesh, l'amechach, 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 Vehine soye basode. Vayishaleyu ish, lema matvakesh. So what does Rash say? Vim say wish? What does Chazal say? Yeah, malach. What does it mean, malach? What kind of malach was it? It says an ish. There's a pasuk that says an ish. What is malach? Why should you make a person to a malach?
It doesn't mean it was actually a malach.
Yeah. What does it mean? You say wish, ze Gavriel. It doesn't mean it was a malach. It means. Yeah, Gavriel. Malach means, like the Raman says, malach means that they do shluchisa shomakam, which means it's under the ashgacha. Vayimsa'el ish means that you should know that this person that met Yosef wasn't just stama, an occurrence, haphazard occurrence, but it was all devised by the ashgacha, and this had to occur. You know, it says this pshat, sounds like philosophical pshat. The Ramban says the pshat. Ramban says openly. He says, you got the Ramban there? Yes. Yemar vayimsa'el ish. Yemar ki yutayim in aderech, v'lo yodeh onu yelech. V'nichnas basada kibmakim amara haya. Okay, v'yarech hakosav bazel lahagid kisibais rabbis bo'elav. Pasuk tells you why he had trouble finding them. Says because many things occur. The Torah doesn't tell you everything. Pasuk just tells you one or two things, but he wants to show you a lot of things happen. Shayir roy lachzalai. He really was supposed to go back. A lot of things occurred then that he wanted to change his mind and go back. Avalakol sava lekvayd aviv, but he accepted all the difficulties because of his father. Ulahaydi anu aid, and to teach us something else, he says. Ki hagzera emes, because the gzera means the law which HaKadosh Baruch Hu implants and his ashgacha is true. V'acharitz is sheker, and in your own personal strivings is nothing. Ki zimela HaKadosh Baruch Hu meira derech shalei midaitai, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared this meira derech shalei midaitai. He says, Lavia biyadam. V'lozenis kavna rabbi seinu be'omram. And that's what Chazal meant when they said, ki ha'ishim ha'elahim malachim. He says, that's what Chazal meant when they said that these people were malachim. Doesn't mean they were really malachim. Doesn't mean they were malachim. He says, this is what Chazal meant. He says, what? Shaloy al-chinam hoya kol ha-sipur hazeh, elo lo-hidi-onu ki atzas areshem hisokom. That's what it means. Not that Chazal meant for him to say, wish was real malach, or so malach all of a sudden. No, it means, malach means, oisim shluchis ha-shomokayim. It means that this person was designed by the Ashgacha to be there at that particular point. And not only this person, but all the occurrences to make sure that he goes over there, because everything was al-pi Ashgacha. It's an interesting thing. So you see like a three-dimensional story here. Everything devised by the Ashgacha worked out. So now I'll ask you a question. So what is really... One, another question. Question. The question is often asked. They say like this. The Torah tells you, Maisei Avos, right? Why Maisei Avos? Because you learn a lot of things from Maisei Avos. Good, very good. You learn the Derech HaChaim from Maisei Avos. Why did the Torah tell you Maisei Avos, you see, in such a way, through stories? There's another way to tell you, to teach a person Derech HaChaim. Simply, by setting up a code, a rule, a set of ideas. Pirkei Avos. That was Derech HaChaim. You learn Pirkei Avos be'ian and you'll understand exactly why you're supposed to live this or why you're supposed to live this. What do you have to have Maisim for? What do you have to support Maisim? Must be illustrations.
The others didn't come about the real
code of ethics. Systematic code of ethics. Another philosopher right now, code, a system, that's it. I mean, just like you have the halacha systematize the code of ethics. Why do you have to have the meisim for? What's the answer? Oh, danger. People put in things in the Torah from the meisim that, they never existed. Danger, great danger. On the contrary, what you have to do, you have a person has to really know how to think properly in order to be able to make the proper deductions from these meisim. Otherwise, he's putting crazy pshatim, crazy things in me. Right? So, on the contrary, a system of ethics in which you teach me the ideas, that's the best way to teach. That's the best way to learn ethics. So why does Torah do this? What's the answer? Why does Torah do this? The answer is one thing. The answer is that the Torah is not a system of ethics. You see? The Torah, the essence of the Torah really is not that. The essence of the Torah is not to teach you, is not the essence of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, let me put it that way. The essence of Chamisha Chumshei Torah is not to teach you Derech HaChaim. Interesting thing. The essence of Chamisha Chumshei Torah is not to teach you Pirkei Avos. You see? What is it? Until HaChodesh Zelachem, what is it? It's different. That's a limit of the Ashgacha. That's what it is. It's the study of the Ashgacha. The whole, all these Sipuri HaMaisim, everything happened, like you see the three-dimensional story with Yosef and the Achim and the Father, the whole thing, how it all comes together. It only teaches you one thing. It's the study of the Ashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it is. From Bereshis to Lachaydash Zelachem is just the study of the Ashgacha. Of course, the study of the Ashgacha is the study of Ashgacha HaKadosh Baruch Hu in relationship to vis-a-vis the Avos, right? So naturally, once you have the Avos there, so therefore you can learn out Derech HaChaim from the Avos too. But that's incidental. That's accidental. The essence is not really limud of Derech HaChaim from all these Sipurei HaMaisim, because if that was the case, Pirkei Avos would be better. The essence of the Torah is one thing, is the study of the Ashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Naturally, since the Ashgacha involves people, and these people are great people, so we could also derive, we could learn from these incidents too. But that would not be included in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Apparently, Chamisha Chumshei Torah was really designated to be one thing, Tayag Mitzvahs. That's all. Nothing else. You see? Who said it really? Rabbi Yitzchak said it. That's the first Rashi. Let's take Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak. Lo'yhoye tzorach lahaschil es ha-tera ela me'achesh zelachem. Shehi mitzvah rishena shenistavu by Yisrael. So what do you see? The question is, what's the subject matter of Chamisha Chumshei Torah? You see? That's why you understand this Rashi's here first. Because people never think of this. I don't know why, but they don't, you know? Question is, let's say a person picks up a sefer. Learn a sefer, you learn Mishlah, you learn Kehelas. First thing you should ask me, what's the sefer about, right? But for some unknown reason, people don't ask it about the Torah. I don't know why. You think it's like too great? You can't ask that question. You see? But Rabbi Yitzchak asked the question. Rabbi Yitzchak asked the question. He asked it right away in the beginning, because that's the place, right? Lo haya tzorach lahaschil es ha-Torah ela me'achodesh zelachem shehi mitzvah rishena shenistavu by Yisrael. What's the essence of Chamisha Chumshei Torah? What's the purpose? What's the subject matter of Chamisha Chumshei Torah? Mitzvahs, tayag mitzvahs, that's it. Other things are derived in other areas. Keheles, Mishle, you'll learn ethics, learn Derech HaChayim. Mishle is, one pasuk after another. He tells you the ideas. He doesn't tell you stories, he doesn't tell you illustrations, you see? Tells you the ideas, system of code of ethics, a system, systematize the ethical sefer. Why, what's the Torah? The Torah's not for that purpose. The Torah is only for mitzvahs, that's the essence of the Torah. The system of tayag, a system, an abstract system of justice. That's what the Torah is. Okay. Now it's like this. Umatam pasach bebereshis. So why do you start with bereshis? Yes. What is the, from bereshis until achadish zelachem, what is it? It's a study of the Ashgacha, right? That's his question. His question is, why was it necessary to have the study of the Ashgacha here? That's a different subject matter. See, the Torah should have one subject. The subject should be Tayag Mitzvahs. The study of Ashgacha has no shechas here. It doesn't mean to say, Rabbi Yitzchak didn't mean to say it's unimportant. That's ridiculous. Of course, study of Ashgacha is very important. But that's not what the Chamisha Chumshi Torah is there for. Separate sefer. Be a separate sefer. Study of Ashgacha would be another sefer. You have Chamisha Chumshi Torah and you have another sefer on the Ashgacha. Be a separate sefer. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu combine them both into one sefer? That's his question. Why two subject matters? One thing has nothing to do with the other. One is a study of the Ashgacha and the other one is a system of justice. Why are they both combined into one? That's his question. So what is the answer? So he says like this. So he says, Kayach Maisav Higid La'amai Los Islam Nachlas Gain. What's the answer? The first question we got rid of. The first question we asked was what? What do you mean? It's not important? Yeah, it's very important. But that's not what the essence of the Torah is. The essence of the Torah is Tayag Mitzvahs. There's another subject in the Torah. The other subject in the Torah is the study of the Ashgacha. Two subjects in the Torah. But the question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make one sefer and put two different topics in them? One is the study of Ashgacha and one is Tayag Mitzvah. It should be two separate svarim. So what's the answer? There must be an interrelation. What's the interrelation? What we have to understand is one thing at this point. What is the concern about the Goyim? What is the concern about the Goyim? The Goyim will tell the Jews, so we'll answer them, give an answer. Probably never happened to the... What's the pshat? What is it?
They won't have the same words.
You have many times in the Torah you have that. Lama yemru Mitzrayim lemar. Baro haitziyam lara geysam bahar malachalaisam alpanei adama. Why should the Mitzrayim say that? Powerful enough. And he wants to show them he's powerful, he can't show them he's powerful. I mean, that's ridiculous. What does it mean?
We have to justify ourselves
from their inquiry. Yeah. We have to... The thing is like this. Really, the Torah was made. Really, the oh, but really, the Torah. You see, you wouldn't be able to answer the case of Lama Yom Mitzrayim.
Though,
right?
Well, they're putting ideas
in our heads. They should put ideas in our heads. Yeah, but they didn't say Lama Yom Mitzrayim Li Yisrael. Lama Yom Mitzrayim. Lama Yom Mitzrayim. You see, really, we have oftentimes we get a very small view of the Torah. It's true that the Torah was given. Hashem Baruch Hu Kolam Anas Nas Terasa. It's given to us, right? Ah, but really, it doesn't mean that a Kadosh Baruch Hu simply forgot about the rest of mankind. Doesn't mean that way. You see, in many instances, you see, it's not so. You see, in B'maisa Mashiach, it says, "V'norel of kol hag, all the goyim will come, and they'll all recognize the veracity of the Torah, recognize the truth." Kihi chachmaschem avinafchem leinei amim. You have in Avalkein Akavalcha, "Lasakein olam b'malchus shakai v'chovnevasa yichur shmecha lachnei shalacha kol rishay aretz." So and. Yakum nal al har Hashem and the Bimaisa Mashiach, all in Tanakh and everywhere. But many times we allow our own personal prejudice not to prevent us from really seeing this truth. It really isn't true. The Torah, of course, was given to us, but the ultimate purpose was for man, the genus man, for the entire genus, you see? But the only thing is that the most expedient way is through Klal Yisrael, because we were the only ones that were roy to take it, you see? That's the medrash over there. It went to every Kadosh Baruch Hu asked all the Omais. Doesn't have to be taken literally. It means that you just knew they weren't ready. Nobody else could take it. See, but ultimately the system of Yahadus Kiddushim Shemayim is for everybody. Kiddushim Shemayim is for all the nations, for the whole of mankind. You see, so therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the system of justice, it's a system which everyone should have an opportunity to recognize that is just. Everybody should have an opportunity to recognize that it's just. You know what I mean? Lama Yem Mitzrayim means that by doing this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually acting against his own objective. Because his objective is not to kill the Mitzrayim, his objective is that the Mitzrayim should recognize the truth. You see, it says that the Malachim could not say Shira. That the only cloud, Oz Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael, but the Malachim could not say Shira. Why? Because Maisi Yaday Tavayam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. What does it mean? It means his objective was lost. He didn't create the Mitzrim to drown in the sea. He created the Mitzrim in order that you recognize the truth. They says, everybody should see the truth. And here they're drowning in the sea, so I can say Shira. You see? So, therefore, the system of justice of Yadis, the Tayag Mitzvahs, the ultimate system of justice was given not just for Klal Yisrael. It was given to Klal Yisrael, but for everybody. So therefore, in order that everybody can recognize the system of justice, it must be presented in a way that there's no injustice, there's no glaring, blatant injustice there. There shouldn't be anything there which prevents a person from seeing that it is a just system. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Now, what does prevent the person from seeing that it's just? A big, powerful taina. A big, powerful taina. A big, emotional taina can prevent the person from seeing injustice. What's the big taina? The big taina is one mitzvah. That's right. The Yerishtem Esoretz V'Yeshavtem Ba. The system says you should go in and take these lands and conquer them, take them over, right? But the question is that just? Is that just? They used to ask today, is that just? And Yeshua went through Yericho, Zingo, through Arzro, wiped everybody out, and just said, where's the justice? What kind of justice is this? Correct? So if the situation is such that the system of justice, there is one thing that prevents people from recognizing the system of justice, so this has to be corrected. How was it corrected? Very simply, by incorporating the study of the Ashgacha together with the system of justice. See, that's what Rabbi Yitzchok says. Rabbi Yitzchok says that the two are related. The two are related. Why? There's the system of justice, and then there's the study of the Ashgacha. But there's a strong relationship between the two. Because in order that the system of justice, that a person should be able to look objectively at the system of justice, he must also have the study of the Ashgacha. That's why the Torah put these two subjects together.
Okay.
That's why you have to have them both. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. If you say, in other words, let's say, for instance, say HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this thing, right? He created it for one purpose. He created it that the Jews should have it at a certain time, right?
Yeah.
So that's the purpose of the creation, right? So therefore, where's the injustice when he tells them to go take it? There's no, on the contrary, there's no, that's what he created it for. What does it mean? No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created means I would never have created it. This is the purpose I created it for. Doesn't God have a right to create something for a certain purpose? So he created Eretz Yisrael for this purpose. So that's not unjust when he says,
why not?
No, because he created for
it's
that.
It's unjust
to the
Gaiyim.
No, the injustice...
The Jews, he created something for the Gaiyim, he didn't create.
No, that's not the injustice. You don't understand. That's not the injustice. The injustice is listing. How can the Torah preach a system of justice when it's unfair? There's nothing unfair. That question... See, there's nothing unfair about that. I want you to understand something. Let me give you an example. That's the old... Like, let's reference to say, why did... That's another area. Why is it? It's unjust. The bird can fly. Like, is a bird can fly, an elephant can't. It's unjust. An elephant can't. It's not unjust because God's will is that He created this type of being and that. Why? One person has a better head, another person has a worse head. Right? One person is healthier, another person is sick. You say that the injustice has nothing to do with injustice. You see, it has nothing to do with injustice. That simply each creature must be looked upon their own way. You understand? Each creature was created in his own way. An ox was not created to study mathematics. So therefore, you can't say it's not fair. An ox can't study mathematics. What do you mean it's not fair? God can create an ox. He has the right to create a creature that can't think. Right? He has the right to create a creature that can think. He has the right to create a creature that can think better. He can create a mush. There's nothing unjust about it. It's unjust in your mind because you compare. You say, I should be like that. That's just because you want to be like that. But that's not really inherent injustice. You understand what I mean? But listus is inherent injustice. List as it means first you tell me a system where each guy owns his own property, and then you say that he says, oh, go and take it away from them, you see? So therefore, you say it's not a just system. But it is just. Why? Because God created for this is the purpose. So therefore, he has a right to create something without objective, right? Oh, so now it's not unjust. You see what I mean? I didn't say that the whole thing was to answer the guy. That's not true. I said this. The question, of Yitzchak's question was, why the two are combined? You see, there's two areas in the Torah. What's the subject matter of the Torah? What is it? The beginning, as soon as Yitzchak sees the Torah, Bereishis Bara, what is it? Let's understand, what's the Torah? So he takes a look, he sees the two subjects over here, two things conflicting, with two different things. They're not conflicting, but the two different subjects shouldn't incorporate them in one sefer. You see, one is the system of Tayag Mitzvahs, the ultimate system of justice, and the other one is study of Ashgacha, right? Where's the relationship between the two? So the answer is, in order to present the system of justice, in a way that every person can avail themselves of it, can recognize it. You have to remove an emotion, and that emotion can only be removed through the study of the Hashgacha. So that's why you had to have them together. You see? In other words, you say like this. Rav Yitzchak's answer is, the study of the Hashgacha is a means for the objective of the system. Because what's the objective of Tayag? What's the objective? That people should recognize the ultimate justice, right? But you need a means to enable them to recognize it. And what's the means? To remove an emotional taina. To remove a taina. It's not so much emotional. It's even a logical taina. To remove a logical taina. You see? Because otherwise they'll say inherently, you see, the system is corrupt. What do they see? They see you taking land away, right? And you say this part of the system, that's a corrupt system. What does Chil Shem Shemayim really mean? Chil Shem Shemayim means like this. A person is reputed to be a from individual, and he does an action which people degrade. People think is degrading, right? He steals, he robs. That's Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem is the worst chet. Why is it the worst chet? Because that action, what does it do? What does that action do? You are directly going against the objective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the objective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to present people with the ability to choose the true system. And you're doing an action which directly prevents them. Because now they say, hey, that's the system, look what he does. You see? So what do? They degrade the system. So you're prevent their whole purpose in existence is to recognize the system. And what you're doing is you're breaking
that's
the whole purpose
of
existence.
That's why Kiddush Hashem is the best.
That's why Kiddush Hashem is the greatest. That's right, exactly. That's why Kiddush Hashem is the greatest message. Because Kiddush Hashem Shemayim,
you perform the
objective of God, you see? That's where it is. So therefore, that's what Yitzchak said. He says that in order to reach the objective of Tayag, what's the objective of Tayag? That everybody should be able to recognize the ultimate system? So it was necessary to remove this taina, this logical, it's a logical taina really. Why? Because if you don't remove this taina, so therefore the whole presentation of Tayag is lacking. So this is a means, the study of the Hashgacha is a means which is necessary in order to present the system of Tayag. You see? That's why it's incorporated in one sefer. The question is, why should it be together? They're unrelated, there's no relation. One is study of Hashgacha, one is the perfect system, right? The answer is they are related. How are they related? They're related as a means is related to an end. That's the relationship. That's what he answers. You see it?
Yeah.
There's two things in the Hashgacha that really demonstrate that it was just. First of all, that God created it. That's number one. And secondly, but that alone is enough. The fact that he created it, that it doesn't, is enough. He created the world. Because since he created it, so he has a right to do whatever he wants, because he creates it. But the second point is that he's concerned with it after it exists. Because if he's not concerned with it after it exists, so then again it's unjust. Why? Because it comes up that the Jews robbed it. Yeah, because then he gave it to anybody. He gave it to anybody. He says, I created it, now anybody wants to take it.
Right.
So they took it first, so it's not just to take it back again, you see? So there's two elements involved in Hashgacha. Two elements involved in the Hashgacha that demonstrates the justice. One is that he created it, therefore he has a right to create what he wants. And secondly, he's concerned, actively concerned with what happens over here. That's the whole Sefer Maaseh Hashgacha. That shows, since you see he's actively concerned, so therefore he is directing it. He's directing it. Not that he gave it to everybody and said, okay, grab the first one who grabs it has it. Then again, it'll be unjust. But through Hashgacha, you see he's concerned with what happens, what takes place. So therefore it's just. After Yaakov died, see, he denied the Hashgacha because of his egoism, because he's not Hashgacha. Then later, you see, he recognized Hashgacha. It goes like this. It says, Vayiru Achei Yosef Kimeis Aviyam Vayemru Lu Yistameinu Yosef Al Heiras Vashav Yashnas Eis Kolorah Asher Gamalnu Esai. You see, they realize they were unjust. Vayitzavol Yosef Leimah Vichot Tzivot Neim Yosef. And I told him a story. Chesem Le Yosef Ana Sona Pesha Achecha V'chatasim Peragol Malucha. This is like this. It says, Vayerma Aleim Yosef Al Tiro. Take this unbelievable pasuk. Next part. Al Tiro, don't be afraid. He says, Ki asachas elekim ani. He says, Asachas elekim ani. He says, Atem chashavtem olai ra. Elekim chashav letova. Now if he wants to, you think like this, if you want to make a person feel good, and he tells you, look, you see that he's down, he's begging you for forgiveness, right? You say, you didn't mean it, you know. Nah, Atem chashavtem olai ra. He said, he was honest, said, definitely you intended to do bad. He says, but Elokim Chashav Alatayva, I don't look at it emotionally in terms of my own personal emotions. I don't act in the system of emotions, but I act under the system of justice. And therefore, it's all in the Hashgacha. Just look at the system, not at the emotions. That was the best, that was the true Nichum that he gave him. Yeah. Then there's nothing to worry about. Because the man that you can trust the most is not the man who is emotionally involved, but the man who follows the ultimate system. That was the real Nechama. That was the Nechama. It's a parallel. Rosh Menzvel. It means one thing. It means everything's up to the Ashgacha. My own emotions are not involved. That's what it means. See? That's a shot. Now, as a further raya, that Yaakov Avinu overcame his emotions, and that this was really the whole purpose of his being away from Yosef, and that he recognized this. Because we say that he changed through Binyamin. He actually changed. When we say he changed, it means he actually knew there was a change. Why? How do we know this? See, there's a Rashi that says, Memvav, Resh Memvav Chavtes. Vayesef Yosef, Yeso Yosef Markavto, Vayalik Yosef of Goshen, Vayalav Yipal Tzavar, Vayevkal Tzavar Ravod. So Rashi says, why didn't Yaakov cry on Yosef's, Av Yaakov Lanafal Tzavar Yosef. Lanoshkov, Amar Rabbasein Shayakar Yes Shema. He was reading Shema. So, I mean, what kind of way is reading Shema? I just happened to be reading at that minute. And even if you should say that he happened to be reading at that minute, so why couldn't he cry on his shoulder if he got finished with Shema? I mean, how long does the Shema take? And finish, he start crying. So the answer like this, when he saw him, he purposely read Shema. Why? To sublimate all that energy towards God. That was the purpose. That is the moment when he really should have the greatest emotion towards Yosef. And he's able to direct it towards God. That's because he totally overcame the emotion through Binyamin. Another thing that I want to mention is that the Ramban, in the beginning of Era, he mentions why there's no such mention of Olam Haba in the Torah. So the Ramban says, because that's a natural process, and the Torah only mentions Nisim. According to our definition, it's very good, because the only question you can have about a book is if a book doesn't mention something which is the subject matter of the book. Now, the way most people interpret the Torah, the question is a good one. Why did the Torah mention Olam Haba? That would seem to be the most important thing. But since we define the Torah as a book of Hashgacha, so therefore the Ramban is right. That's why there is no mention at all of Olam Haba, since this has nothing to do with Hashgacha. This is just a natural process. That's the Ramban in Va'era in Mikael Shekai, Shmi Hashem Nonadat Lo Nadati Lohem. I want to make one thing a little more clear, that you cannot say, someone might argue, they might say, well, why doesn't the Torah just say that God created the world, and why does it have to say to show his constant involvement in it? The answer is like this: you can't say the fact that if he merely created the world and is not involved in it, that means that his will, he has no will concerning how things should work out in this world. You cannot compare this to a person who creates something and said, I created it for that person, now let him go get it. Because by a person, the withdrawal is because of weakness, because he doesn't want to be involved. But with God, you cannot make such a statement. So therefore, if God is not involved, it means he's not concerned, which means that there is no he has no will concerning this object. Therefore, in order to show that his will is that the Jews should have the land, the land of Israel, you have to show his constant involvement. That's what demonstrates his will. The fact that he created it alone isn't enough. You can't say, well, he created it, and therefore he gave it to the Jews. Because if he's not involved, there's no demonstration of his will. That, on the contrary, if he's not involved, it shows that he doesn't care. Non-involvement is an indication with God that he does not care. He's not concerned. Not like a person who might not want to spend the energy of getting involved, yet he still is concerned. That's only possible by a human being, but by God it's not possible. Because God doesn't have to be concerned about wasting energy. And if he isn't involved, so that means he's not concerned. There's one further point I might mention. Because even though it's true that no one can dictate to God justice, and whatever he wants he can do, so that while it is his will and he can do whatever he wills, nevertheless we still say that his will is a just will, and that one can derive and learn justice from his actions. And over here, one might question, it's true that he created the world and this is his will, but the fact remains, why should he give it to a specific people? The answer is like this. The answer is that the purpose of the Torah is to demonstrate that the benefit for the world is that there should be a Jewish nation which receives the Torah at Sinai, so that eventually the knowledge of the Torah will disseminate to the entire world. Now, since this is the case, since this is his will, and this will is expressed in the Torah, once we see this, and we see that the world was created for that purpose. Now, part of that purpose is Eretz Yisrael. in order for the Jews to be successful in fulfilling that mission, God saw fit that it's he saw it necessary that the Jews have Eretz Yisrael. So now Eretz Yisrael is not just a physical possession, but rather Eretz Yisrael is a means to God's entire plan. In other words, from the plan of the Torah, one sees reflected in the plan of the Torah that Eretz Yisrael isn't just an isolated factor, a material gain for the Jew, but rather it's a part of the entire framework of God's will, which is that the Jews should have Torah in order that everyone can, they themselves and everyone can benefit from its knowledge. So that now, when one studies the Torah, one on the contrary, one sees that it isn't a matter of injustice, but rather, it all fits into the divine plan. However, if the Torah didn't start from Bereshis, if there wasn't the annunciation that God created the world, then we might say, well, what right does he have to? What right do the Jews have to take a land away which isn't theirs? But now we see that his whole purpose in creating the world was for the Torah, and the Jews were the ones to receive the Torah, and they must have Eretz Yisrael as a means. So therefore, this all fits into his plan. This certainly is a just plan. We say therefore that the plan per se is a just one, and it is being carried out in a just situation too, because the land, since the land was created by God, so therefore he has the right to create a situation in which he can carry out this just plan. However, if the land wasn't created by God, then even though the plan is just, he can't carry it out to the detriment of other individuals. The Jews, for instance, could not say, we want to take Eretz Yisrael because we have a plan for the world. If it doesn't belong to you, it's an injustice. So therefore, you have to have, even though a person might have a just plan, the just plan is only just if it's carried out within a just situation. So therefore, when the Torah begins in Bereshis, it shows two things. If the situation is just, God created the world, he can give it to whoever he wishes, and the plan per se is a just one too.